Chapter 15. We have to stay calm, I told my brother. If we take a deep breath and just relax, I'm sure we'll be able to remember.
I guess you're right, Eddie replied uncertainly. He stared straight ahead. He was gritting his teeth, trying hard not to cry.
It was a few minutes later. The desk clerk had suggested that we go to the hotel restaurant. He promised he'd try to find our parents while we ate. That suggestion was fine with Eddie and me. We were both starving. We sat at a small table in the back of the restaurant. I gazed around the big, elegant room. Crystal chandeliers cast sparkling light over the well-dressed diners. On a small balcony overlooking the room, a string quartet played classical music. Eddie tapped his hands nervously on the white tablecloth. I kept picking up the heavy silverware and twirling it in my hand. The tables all around us were filled with happy, laughing people. Three children at the next table, very dressed up, were singing a song in French to their smiling parents. Eddie leaned over the table and whispered to me, "How are we going to pay for the food? Our money isn't any good."
"We can charge it to the room," I replied, "when we figure out what room we're in."
Eddie nodded and slouched back in his high back chair. A waiter in a black tuxedo appeared beside the table. He smiled at Eddie and me. "Welcome to the Barclay," he said. "And what may I bring you this evening?"
"Could we see a menu?" I asked.
"There is no menu right now," the waiter replied without changing his smile. "We are still serving tea."
"Only tea?" Eddie cried. "No food?"
The waiter chuckled. "Our high tea includes sandwiches, scones, croissants, and an assortment of pastries."
"Yes, we'll have that," I told him.
He gave a quick bow of his head, turned, and headed toward the kitchen. "At least we'll get something to eat," I murmured. Eddie didn't seem to hear me. He kept glancing at the doorway at the front of the restaurant. I knew he was looking for Mom and Dad.
"Why can't we remember our last name?" he asked glumly.
"I don't know," I confessed. "I'm very confused." Every time I started to think about it, I felt dizzy. I kept telling myself I was just hungry. "You'll remember after you had something to eat," I kept repeating. The waiter brought a tray of tiny sandwiches cut into triangles. I recognized egg salad and tuna fish. I didn't know what the others were. But Eddie and I didn't care. We started devouring the sandwiches as soon as the waiter set them down. We drank 2 cups of tea. Then our next tray arrived with scones and croissants. We loaded them up with butter and strawberry jam and gobbled them down hungrily.
"Maybe if we tell the man at the front desk what Mom and Dad look like, he can help us find them," Eddie suggested. He grabbed the last croissant before I could get it.
"Good idea," I said. Then I let out a silent gasp. I had the dizzy feeling again.
"Eddie," I said, "I can't remember what Mom and Dad look like."
He let the croissant fall from his hand.
"I can't either," he murmured, lowering his head.
"This is crazy, Sue." I shut my eyes. Just try to picture them," I urged. "Force away all other thoughts. Concentrate. Try picturing them."
I can't," Eddie stammered. I could hear the panic in his high-pitched voice.
"Something is wrong, Sue. Something is very wrong with us."
I swallowed hard. I opened my eyes. I couldn't conjure up any kind of picture of my parents.
I tried thinking about Mom. Was she blonde, red-haired, black-haired? Was she tall, short, thin, fat? I couldn't remember.
"Where do we live?" Eddie wailed. "Do we live in a house? I can't picture it, Sue. I can't picture it at all."
His voice cracked. I could see he was having trouble holding back the tears. Panic choked my throat. I suddenly felt as if I couldn't breathe. I stared at Eddie and couldn't say a word. What could I say? My brain spun like a tornado.
"We've lost our memory," I finally uttered. "At least, part of our memory."
"How?" Eddie demanded in a trembling voice. "How could that happen to both of us?" I clasped my hands tightly in my lap. My hands were as cold as ice.
"At least we still remember some things," I said, trying not to despair completely.
"We still remember our first names," Eddie replied.
but not our last. And what else do we remember? We remember our room number, I said, 626. But the desk clerk said we don't belong in that room, Eddie cried. And we remember why we came to London, I continued. Because Mom and Dad had these important meetings. But there are no meetings at the hotel, Eddie exclaimed. Our memories are wrong, Sue. They're all wrong. I insisted on figuring out what we did remember. I had the feeling if I could list off what we did remember, we wouldn't feel so upset about what we had forgotten. I knew it was a crazy idea, but I didn't know what else to do. I remember the tour we took today, I said. I remember everywhere we went in London. I remember Mr. Starks. I remember... What about yesterday? Eddie interrupted. What did we do yesterday, Sue? I started to reply, but my breath caught in my throat. I couldn't remember yesterday, or the day before, or the day before that. Oh, Eddie, I moaned, raising my hands to my cheeks. Something is terribly wrong. Eddie didn't seem to hear me. His eyes were locked on the front of the restaurant. I followed his gaze and saw the slender, blonde-haired man step into the room. The taxi driver. We had forgotten all about him.